Well, good morning again, and welcome to First Baptist Church. I'm glad you're here. I probably should introduce myself real quick. I don't know a lot of the faces in the room, unfortunately. My name's Jay. I'm one of the two missions pastors here at First Baptist Church. My family, my wife Kristen is sitting right over here to my right. We've been here for about 17 years. The guy on the end over there playing the guitar, did y'all recognize him? That's my baby. Do y'all remember when I came to First Baptist Church and he was 7 months old and I introduced him as Ain't No Mo'? Well, he's 6 foot tall. He won't get a haircut and he wears skinny jeans, but other than that, he's a pretty good kid. We like to have him. I'm glad you're here this morning and I'm excited about today. Maybe you're just now finding out that I'm the one preaching today and you want to sneak out during the next prayer, and that's okay. So I'm going to start with a word of prayer, and then we're going to talk about this series that Pastor Greg has allowed us to be a part of for the next couple of weeks. Myself, Brett Hatfield, and Wes Akers are going to be preaching, and we're actually going in order of the best looking, but in descending order of the smallest biceps, okay? So if you just really get bored during this series, you can measure biceps, and maybe that'll keep your head going. Hopefully Wes has a shirt that fits him this time when he preaches, and some of you remember that, and you're smiling about that. But we're excited about that. We're gonna be talking about the series of Next. On the Great Commission. So if you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to take a minute and look at the Great Commission. Surprise, surprise, surprise that that's something that I would want to talk about here this morning, but the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18 and following. And I'll go ahead and pray, and once again, if you were here to hear Greg and you don't want to hang around, it's okay if you sneak out. Will you pray with me? Our Father and our God, we're so grateful to be here this morning, and God, we know that no one is here by accident this morning, God. You brought us to this place for a reason. God, we're so thankful for this church. We're thankful for the ones who have gone before us. God, we're thankful to celebrate our independence today as a nation. But we're so happy and so excited to celebrate our freedom as Christians, where we can gather together today and we can worship you freely the way that we've chosen. And so, God, I know that there are many traveling today. I know that lots of families are out today. But, God, we pray your blessing on our church. God, would you help us as we work to make disciples where we live and we work and we play. And so, God, we're excited about that today. Would you help us as we explore this today? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, most of you are very familiar with this passage of Scripture, and thankful to Jerry today for this cool technology that we have. If I can get this pen out of here, see if we can make this work. How about this? How about some cool technology today to talk about Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20? So if you and I were to go to a restaurant and we were to sit down and we were to start talking about, there we go, the Great Commission, we take a look at this passage of Scripture and we would find out that Jesus is meeting with his disciples. And there's a couple of things that are really important about this passage of Scripture, something that we've talked about many times here at First Baptist Church. But in verse 16, the Bible tells us that the disciples were there together on a mountain in Galilee. And they were there for a very specific reason, weren't they? Why were they there? Because he told them to go there, right? So what we're going to see is not only were they there because he told them to be there, but we're going to see the very last command of Jesus. So this is his last command. The very last thing that he says, as a matter of fact, these are the very last words that Jesus says on this earth. Anybody ever seen the Jesus film? I've seen it in a couple of different nations, ironically. But in the Jesus film, anybody familiar with it? How many of you have seen the Jesus film? Like four of you. Okay, never mind. This illustration is not going to work. Make a note. Don't say that in the next service. But in the Jesus film, after Jesus says these words, the Jesus film is so old, they didn't have the technology that would allow them to show him ascending into heaven. And so after Jesus says these words in the Jesus film, you see all the disciples, they do this. Right? Because not only was this the last command that Jesus said, but these are his last words. The very last words that Jesus ever says on this earth, and the last command. But when we go back to verse 16, we see that they were there gathered at that mountain because this was his last appointment. Now, I just got back from a big trip. We went to North Carolina to see Kristen's family, And I drove 13 hours to get home yesterday. My back feels like I was around when this nation started, right? Some of you know what that feels like. Bruce, I was going to ask you, do you remember what it was like the day our nation started? Weren't you around when, okay, I thought you were old enough to remember that. That's good, okay. So, but when you're going on a trip and you have a lot of important things to do, I want you to think about that, how you begin to organize those things in your mind. And I want you to think about the Great Commission like that. Jesus is about to go away. He's about to leave his disciples. After 30-something years of doing ministry, doing life here, and 3 or 4 years of doing ministry with these people, he's about to leave. And so he says, I have one really last appointment that I want to talk to you guys. So I'm going to make a special time in a special place. I want you to go to this mountain in Galilee, and I want you to wait on me there. And when I get there, I have some really important things that I want to tell you. And so he gathers there with his disciples. And these last words include this last command that Jesus gives, this command to make disciples. Now today, I want to challenge you, and we've got a little visual element that we're going to use. We're going to build upon, thanks to Janice Floyd. We're going to build upon this visual element as we talk through this series. And so I'm going to ask, I think my friend Tarshan is here. Tarshan, do you mind to bring out our little visual element right there? Kind of a cool deal. We'll let you roll that dude on up here. How many of you guys know Tarshan? Anybody, you met Tarshan? All right. Tarshan is the director of the Boys and Girls Club over at Dardanelle Unit, but Tarshan, you're also kind of doing an intentional internship here at First Baptist Church working with Robert. We're excited about that, and Tarshan is one of the guys that we're bringing along to be one of the pastors over at the Boys and Girls Club where we're trying to plant a church over there. And so Tarshan, good friend of mine, and so Tarshan, we've got this. I don't know if everybody can see this okay, but we're going to build on this visual element each week, and we're going to kind of introduce you this idea of this cake, that we would all come together and enjoy this cake. And on the bottom level of this cake, you can see, what does it say there? It says statements, that we make statements about our faith where we live, work, and play, okay? And so that's kind of where we want to begin as we put this cake together and we give you this visual element each week. And I'm kind of excited about to see what Miss Janice is going to put together for the next tier of this cake. Brad's going to talk about that next week. And then finally, Wes is going to have the top tier of that cake, and we're all going to get to celebrate together as we look at that. But Tarshan, it's kind of a cool thing to talk about, making statements about our faith and making disciples where we live and we work and we play. So I know you have some thoughts about that, but what's that been like for you to be challenged in the last couple of months over at the Boys and Girls Club to be thinking about making disciples where you live and you work and you play?
We work, this is a profession where I guess a lot of times we have to necessarily push the gospel in the club, you know. That's not necessarily the rules, right? But as Christians in the world, we're called to be sometimes rule breakers. So a lot of times I lead by my actions. I want my kids to see in my actions exactly of the God I serve. So I always tell my staff, and that not only in the club do I talk to my kids every day, and I get to, you know, push the gospel through my kids, but I also get to push the gospel to my staff.
And one of the ways you can do that is just by beginning to make statements.
Yes, sir.
Right? And so we say little small things like, God bless you.
Yeah.
And I hope you have a great day. And
yeah.
Just little bitty small statements where we can begin. And so that's the bottom tier of that cake, and yeah. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. But Tarshan, it would almost seem like it would be a shame if we had you up here and you and I didn't do a song together. I think the last time that I had you up here, you and I did a song together. Do we need to involve Robert?
I think Robert needs to come up here.
Last time I just kind of sprung it on Robert. Do y'all remember that? Tarshan started singing and Robert jumped up here to play. But let's do it. You got an idea, a song in mind?
I don't know, but it needs to be in the key of G.
Key of G.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling G.
Not feeling G.
Not at all. Let's do it.
I'm not feeling this mic right now. There we go. All right.
Good.
Maybe E. Is E okay?
I guess that'll do.
Misty, that's not a good piano key, is it? But we're going to go with E.
All right.
I think.
All right.
Thank you, thank you. Man. So let's move on. Let's talk a little bit more about this. Or do you want to have some more songs? We could just stop right there. I mean, Branson's a big deal. They have these variety shows at Branson, right? And everybody smiles and happy. Sometimes I think maybe church could be more like that. And I don't know how that works, but almost like a variety show. So in this passage of scripture that we're talking about, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. And Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking to these disciples, and he's telling them that he wants them to go and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and I'm with you always until the end of the age. And so, in other words, he's talking to them about how he wants them to become disciple makers. And he's going to give them three very specific things to talk about. Three very specific action verbs of how they are to make disciples. Those are things like go, And that's what we're going to talk about this week. Next week, Brad Hatfield is going to talk about baptizing. And finally, Wes is going to talk about teaching to obey. Go baptize and teach. And so each week we're going to try to give you, as a part of this series, we're going to try to give you three spiritual emphases, I think is what we're going to try to call them, three spiritual emphases, and then one very practical expression. So three spiritual emphases and one really practical expression. And you maybe can already guess what the practical expression is going to be this week. Anybody have a guess about what that might be? Well, this week, as we close our service, we're going to give each of you a bag of cookie mix. Again, Janice and her crew have put this together for us. And all you have to do is add a little bit of vanilla and a stick and a half of butter, I think, and maybe some oil, I'm not exactly sure. An egg, you have to add an egg. You have everything right there. And so what we're going to challenge you to do is to make a very practical expression of your faith somewhere where you live, work, and play. We're going to ask you to make somebody some cookies. We're going to ask you to find somebody in your neck of the woods where you live, where you work, and where you play, that you would take this cookie mix, that you would make them a bag of cookies, a bunch of cookies, and then you would take those to them and deliver them to them as a statement of your faith. We're going to challenge you to do that. Now, I spent a little money on y'all, right? There's a little money involved in that. So it's not that I've made a gamble, but I want to say that I'm investing, that we're investing in you over this series, that you would use this very practical expression of your faith to make some statements about what you believe about Jesus in places where you live, work, and play. I want to ask you to turn with me, if you will, to a passage of scripture that has been challenged to me in the last couple of weeks, something that I've been looking at a lot. And it's this idea of how we look at our role in the gospel. If you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and by the way, if you left your Seven Arrows Bible here, I found it, and I'm going to be preaching out of it today. If you missed it and you need it back, you can get it after the sermon. But someone left it here today, and I'll be preaching out of that today. What? Oh, that would be the youth pastor's Bible. Oh, your son's Bible. Okay. Does he need it now? Oh, you left it. Okay. Well, do you need it right now? Are you good? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 through 21. You see, here's something that I've been looking at a little bit recently, and I've been challenged in what is my actual role in the Great Commission? What is my actual role in making disciples where I live, work, and play? I think it's important. I think that we are supposed to be about making disciples where we live, we work, and we play. If it weren't for that, I really believe Jesus would have taken us to heaven the moment that we were saved. The moment as a 9-year-old boy when I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, if He didn't have a very specific role for me, He should have taken me to heaven in that. Maybe the streets are gold and the mountains don't move. Maybe all of those things that Tarshan just sang about how wonderful heaven is, those things, why didn't Jesus take me there the moment that I was saved? Because we have a very specific role to do of making disciples. And so I've looked through trying to think through that, about what is exactly my role. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there are five words, five different times Paul says this word to the people there at the church at Corinth. Can you figure out what those five different times, what Paul says there? What's the word that keeps jumping up at you? I'm old enough that I have to have a pair of glasses now. Did you find it? What's a word that keeps jumping out at you? What is it? I keep seeing this word of reconciliation, of reconciled. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "Therefore, since we know the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade people. What we are is plain to God, and I hope that it's also plain to your conscience. We are not commanding ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to be proud of us so that you may have a reply for those who take pride in outward appearance rather than in the heart. For we are out of our mind, it is God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, since we have reached this conclusion, if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised." Now look what Paul says starting in verse 16. "From now on then, we don't know anyone according from a worldly perspective. Even if we have known Christ from a worldly perspective, yet now we no longer know him in this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. And see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, I feel like for a long time I didn't understand my role in the Great Commission. I thought my role in the Great Commission was to be a mediator. But the Bible says that there is one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. And so if God had one mediator between himself and his people, he doesn't need me to be a mediator. He needs me to be an ambassador. Now, since coming here, I've had a pretty cool opportunity to travel to a lot of neat places. I filled up a passport. There's probably not too many guys from Gum Springs, Arkansas that have filled up a passport. And I'm working on my second one. I've traveled to a lot of places. So let's just imagine one of those cool places, say Kenya, that I've traveled to a lot of times. Let's just say that you wanted to send me as an ambassador to Kenya. What would I do as an ambassador to Kenya? Well, I would go there, and I would spend time among the people, certainly. And I would learn their language, and I would eat their food. I would spend time with them. I would enjoy many of the sights that I got to see and their customs. And there would be a lot of things that I would enjoy as being an ambassador. But what would my role be as an ambassador in Kenya? My role would be exactly what's described here in 2 Corinthians. I would be there to say, my nation is good. My nation is true. My nation loves you. My nation cares deeply about its relationship with you. And so as an ambassador for Christ, my job is not to stand in the middle and be a mediator and say, here's this angry God who has judgment coming upon you, and I'm trying to bring you together and make peace. God has already done that. He's already made peace through Christ. The scripture tells that, oh, he himself is our peace. God has already reconciled himself. He has already been the mediator between himself and us through the man Jesus Christ. He asked us to be the mediator, the ambassador. Now, you probably need to spend a little time studying on that. I've dug through a lot of things, and there's so much that I wish I could get into and I could talk about, but there's so many different little nuances there, the difference between an ambassador and a mediator. But I want to challenge you on these three really practical spiritual exercises. As we think about we're making disciples where we live, we work, and we play, I want to challenge you to think about this. And before we move into that, I want to get you to think about something. Some of you are old enough to remember there was a time in church history where all you had to do was throw the doors open and people were coming to Christ like crazy. Okay? There were these big tent revivals. Billy Graham was going to all of these stadiums, and people were packing out these stadiums. And people were coming just in the time period right after the Second World War. All a church had to do was throw open its doors, and people were coming to Christ like crazy. The message of the gospel was going out, and people were coming to Christ, just left and right. And that happened in our nation. Then a little bit later, maybe a generation or so, a couple generations or so later, churches began to see maybe those big crusades are not what are nearly as effective to get the gospel out. And so you started seeing them develop programs. And when I came here as a youth pastor, I had to compete against every other church in town. And if I could put on the best program, I could fill my room up. And whoever had the best program, that's why we built the gym, right? That's Vacation Bible School, who can put on the biggest, most incredible Vacation Bible School, those programs. And please understand, I'm not saying anything wrong with those. I had a good program. Some of my youth are in this room. I see one of them right up there. Okay, some of you are in my youth ministry, and we had a good program, right? Remember that back in the day? Some of y'all don't know Dusty was in my youth ministry back in the day in Camden, Arkansas. That's kind of hard to believe, okay? Nothing wrong with those programs. Please don't misunderstand me. I don't want to get canceled today. I don't want to get in trouble. Don't hear me saying that Vacation Bible School or having a gym or any of those programs are wrong. I think we have to agree, though, that those programs are not nearly as effective of us making disciples. In other words, we're not really, those programs that we have that we're offering to folks are not really all that attractive. There's something else. There's something new coming. Something that's very old, but something that's proven. And I really think this concept of relationships, of making disciples within relationships. I can tell you I have four kids and they're not really impressed by programs. My wife is not really all that impressed by programs. Most of you, if you're honest, you're not really all that impressed anymore about programs. There's a church on every corner, and yet we are losing the fight. If you take any time and look at any demographic study, you're going to see that fewer and fewer and fewer people are coming to church on any given Sunday. The numbers are staggering. It's kind of scary if we start to think about how few people. Some of you have heard this story, but about a year ago now, we took a Sunday and we went around in my neighborhood. I live 7 miles from here, up behind Center Valley Grocery. We took a Sunday afternoon at 11:30 and we walked in my neighborhood. My daughter, Sarah Beth, and her husband, Hunter, knocked on 11 doors at 11:30 in the morning on a Sunday, and 8 people were home in my neighborhood. Most of them, when they came to the door, they had small children right here with them as they answered the door. Now, I think we have to agree that just throwing the doors open of a church and having great programs, those things are not very effective in reaching a world that is lost. And so Paul says here, again, in the same concept, that we are ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So what does that look like for us? Making disciples where we live, we work, and we play. In other words, who's next? Who's next as we say we want to go to make disciples? Now, I want to be the first to tell you, I love going on mission trips. And I hope that when this COVID thing is over, that we'll have the opportunity to go on a lot of mission trips. And I hope that you will go with me. But do you understand, on the very best year that we've ever had in the 17 years that I've been here, about 150 people from this church went overseas with us. On the best year that we've ever had. And that includes 40-something into Mexico. Most of you will not go to the nations, but every single day you have the opportunity to go to where you live, you work, and you play. Does anybody remember before COVID when you would go shopping with your wife? And the whole goal was to find out how many samples of food you could eat? Does anybody remember that? Do you remember walking around in a store and there's somebody there holding a plate and all you had to do was walk by and grab one and eat it? And if it was good, you'd come by again. Do you remember those days? Does anybody remember what I'm talking about? I know women probably didn't do that. Women are like focused. When they go into a store, they're shopping, they're completely focused on what they're going to be getting. And man, I'm just, woo, what can we eat next, right? What samples can we have? Where can we go? What can we get? So how many of you have done that? You've walked up to somebody before and they had a sample there and you took it and you tried it. How many of you have done that? Maybe you've gone to an ice cream store and they have all the samples up there and you can try one, right? You can try however many. Me, I'm like trying 18 of them, right? Before I was allergic to milk. I don't get to do that anymore, but I want to try them all, right? How many can I try? Let me ask you a question. How many of you, if you were walking around in one of those stores and you walked up to the guy and instead of giving you a free sample, he said, I'll tell you what, why don't you come back 4 or 5 days from now? I'm going to give you the location of this place. And if you'll come back to this place at this time, I'll give you a free sample. How many of you would buy into that? Look at all those hands. Most of us, if the guy said, just show up at, say, Sunday at 11 o'clock, I'm going to give you this free sample. Most of you would never do that. And yet, sadly, that's what Christianity in America looks like. I'll give you the good news. If you'll show up at 11 o'clock on a Sunday. If you'll drive across town to this place over here and you'll go in here with a bunch of people that you don't really know, and they're going to sing a lot of songs that you probably don't know very well either, and they're probably not going to look a whole lot like you, but if you'll show up, we'll give you the free sample. Sadly, that's what Christianity in America looks like so much of the time. And that's why in the next couple of weeks, as we talk about making disciples where we live and we work and we play, it's so important. So I want to wrap up this morning. I want to give you three things and I want to be done. Number one, how can I make disciples where I live, I work, and I play? I want to challenge you to pray strategically. Pray strategically. And here's a very practical thing that you can do. What if you go out into your neighborhood this afternoon and you just walk? And as you walk, you pray. And you say, Lord, who would you have me share the good news with? Who would you have me encourage? Who would you have me stop and check on in this neighborhood? And begin, what about tomorrow if you're going to work? A lot of people are not working tomorrow, but if you're going to work tomorrow, what if before your hand touches that door handle, you begin to pray specifically, Lord, who would you have me make a statement today about my faith? Who would you have me? Maybe if you're going to spend some time shopping tomorrow, or the next couple of days, Lord, who would you have me in places where I live, work, and play? Maybe it's a baseball tournament. Maybe it's a something that you'll go and do for fun. How would you have me? In Matthew chapter 9, the Bible says that Jesus looked on the crowds and he had compassion on them. And he turned and he looked at his disciples and he said, I need you to put on a great big program for all these people to show up to. He said, pray, didn't he? Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send workers into the field. So one thing that we can do very specifically is we can pray very strategically. Lord, who is it that you would have me? I'll give you an opportunity. Here's what happened in my world today. As I was driving to church this morning on my road, I noticed that the guys had come through cutting all the limbs down over the power lines with that big, cool piece of machinery. Man, if any of you know who owns that, if they would let me drive that thing for 5 minutes, man, I would be like, that would be like the greatest birthday present ever. My wife is saying, no. Larry's saying, our insurance doesn't cover that. Don't tell him, okay? That would be so much fun. But I noticed an elderly couple in my neighborhood, and I know they don't go to church. I noticed that there were a bunch of limbs down there that they're not going to be able to take care of. And so I know a couple of ham boys who I need to take them over there and stop by my neighbors and say, can we help you take care of those limbs? And while we're there, pray that the Lord gives us an opportunity to make a statement about our faith. Pray specifically. Pray strategically. Number two, there's a cool passage of scripture that I want to ask you to write down, and I want you to look at this later. I don't have time to go through it, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul talks about how he was gentle among people like a mother, but he was also encouraging to them like a father. He was gentle like a mother, but encouraging like a father. And so the second thing that I think that we can do is that we can preach gently with encouragement. Preach gently like a mother, with encouragement like a father. My boys and I had the opportunity this week with Kristen's stepdad to turn some bowls and some cups. And I just watched how patient that man is. Wow. How patient he was with someone who had no concept, no clue about how to turn a bowl or to make a cup. We're using incredibly expensive equipment that is dangerous, that could hurt someone, and he was so patient. And I thought, what if I was that patient with the lost world? What if I could preach that patiently to the lost world, instead of throwing up my hands and wanting to be done with them, we went to some places in North Carolina where the people don't look a whole lot like me and they don't act a whole lot like me. And there are places in Russellville where people don't look like me and they don't act like me and they don't talk like me, and I just want to be done with them. Maybe some of you know that. Maybe your kids are that way. Maybe your grandkids are that way. But not only can we pray strategically, but we can preach gently and be encouraging. Write that down, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And the last thing that I want to say before we're done this morning is that we can not only pray strategically and preach gently, but we can practice diligently. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, Paul is writing to the church there. General Electric Power Company. You with me? Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Here's what he says. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door for us to the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains, so that I may make it known as I should. And then he says this. He says, act wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. So how can we make disciples? How can we begin to think through this process of making disciples where we live and work and we play? Number one, we want to pray strategically. Number two, preach gently. And number three, practice diligently. Now I wonder who will be the weak link in the cookies. Who will be the weak link? Who would say this is dumb? Would it be dad at your house? Or mom at your house? Would it be the kids? Who would say, no way, we're not doing that. We're not making cookies and going to hand. I was talking with a guy yesterday, and a good friend of mine. He has neighbors that have lived next door to him for over a year. He has never met them. Right? Maybe some of you are that way, and you would say, there's no way. No way. Maybe there's that guy at work. Maybe there's those that family that we run into each week as we're doing travel baseball or soccer or whatever we're doing, whatever sport we're playing in. I wonder who would be the weak link. Anybody ever play that game, Marco Polo? How many of you played Marco Polo? Isn't that like the greatest game that's ever been invented? Right? Now, I grew up in Gum Springs, Arkansas, and we didn't have a pool in Gum Springs, but sometimes on Fridays, my mom would take me to Arkadelphia, and we would get to stay all day long while she worked at the city pool. Anybody else in here grow up, you got to go to city pool? Like three of us, okay. The rest of you had your own pools? Is that what? Oh, you went to the racket club or the country club, right? Okay, some of you were there. That's okay. That's okay. Do what? You swam in the creek. Okay. Well, I don't know if you can play Marco Polo in the creek or not, but I'd be willing to try. Marco Polo. So how does that game work? So you get one person who gets on one side of the pool and everybody else gets on the other side of the pool. And the one person who's by himself, he has to be blindfolded, right? He has to keep his eyes shut, right? And he goes, what? What does he say? Marco. Oh, yeah. You've played that game, too. Well, what if your neighbors, what if the people you work with, what if some members of your family, what if they're that one guy in the pool with his eyes closed and they're saying, Marco, 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 and you say, Polo. Marco, 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 Polo. Do you think it's that real? Do you think that there are people in our neighborhoods who need Jesus and are crying out to know him? Their lives are a shamble. Their children are a wreck. Their marriages are a wreck. Their homes are a mess. And they're crying out, Marco, Marco, because they don't know any difference. And you have the answer. You have the answer. And what if something as simple as a little bag of cookies could begin a relationship where you could help them as we talk about how we make disciples where we live, work, and play? As I close this morning again, please don't misunderstand me. I love this church. I love this pastor. I love our vacation Bible school. I love our youth ministry. I love everything. I love this church. But I think you have to agree with me that there are people that we know who are never going to come here. Never. They are never going to darken the doors of this church without a relationship that begins with something as small as a bag of cookies. So this morning as we close, I know Robert's going to do a song, and maybe the group is going to do one more together for our invitation time. And as we always say every single week, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we would love to share with you about how you can know Jesus. When I was 9 years old, someone came to my door and they knocked on my door at Route 1, Box 700, Arkadelphia, Arkansas, and they invited me to a vacation Bible school, and I went and I heard the good news about Jesus, and my life has never been the same. And maybe today, for whatever reason, you're here, you were invited here, and you've heard the good news about a God who loves you, who died on a cross to save your soul. And maybe today is your day that you could come forward and talk with someone about that. Maybe you want to pray about it. Maybe you just have questions. I remember a little bitty boy, 9 years old, walking down an aisle and taking that pastor by the hand. And I remember saying something like, I don't know everything there is to know about Jesus, but I want to know this guy who died on a cross for my sin. Maybe that's you here today. Would you come during this invitation time and talk with one of our pastor staff? If you're a lady, I can promise you my wife is here, Kristen is here. There are lots of ladies who would love to talk with you. Maybe you have something you need to pray about, something that's going on that's overwhelming in your life, and you don't know where to turn and what else to do. Maybe today is your opportunity to do that. Maybe you're looking for a good church to join. Trust me, this is a good one. It's a really good one. And so maybe if you're here today and you've kind of been on the bubble and saying, we're looking for a good fellowship, maybe today is your day to join. But here's what I want to ask you to do. Whatever's going on in your heart, the one thing I know for sure is you need to come get a bag of cookies. Right? So either during the invitation or when we're done, come get a bag of cookies. Put an egg with it, a little bit of vanilla, whatever else, butter that goes in there. Begin to pray. Take your family and pray. Who are we going to give this? And if you need more than one bag of cookies, take them. We'll make more. Lord, who would you have me share the good news with in a place where I live, work, and play? In people that I see every day, that I know every day, who would you have me to make a simple statement of my faith that I care about you because a God that I love cares about you? Lord, who would you have me to do that? And I want to challenge you over the next 3 weeks as we talk through this series that we would be serious about making disciples where we live, we work, and we play. Would you pray with me? Father God, we love you and we thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for us. We thank you that Jaham does not need to be the mediator between you and your creation, that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to be the mediator to bring us together. The one mediator between you and creation. And I'm thankful for him this morning. Thankful for his sacrifice. And so God, I pray this morning that you would help me be a willing ambassador for you in the areas where I live, work, and play. That you would help me as I work to make disciples, to share the good news of the gospel, to bring people into biblical fellowship, and then to teach them to obey the things that you've commanded me to do. God, I love this church and I love the programs of this church. But God, I know that in many instances, these programs in this church, it's not effective in reaching the folks that I know you want to reach. Your word says that you would have all men be saved. And so God, help us as a church as we think, what does that look like to make disciples where we live, work, and play? God, I pray if there's one here today who doesn't know you as Savior and Lord, that they would come today to put their faith and their trust in you, to share that with our congregation. God, I pray that you would help them as they make that decision. Father, we love you. We thank you for all these things. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you want to stand with me while Robert sings, if you want to come get a bag of cookies, come on. Your neighbors are calling Marco, and you have the answer. You can help them. You can help them to see the good news of Jesus. So please come grab one. We'll do it right now so you don't have to be embarrassed. Dads, if you want to send your kid, send your kid. If you want to send your wife, go ahead. Get a couple, okay? And I'm going to stand right down here down front. Once again, if you would like to talk with someone this morning about your faith, about your relationship with Jesus, we're going to celebrate together as a church. Robert, would you lead us?